Well, first, I wanted to welcome everyone to this call. Thank you for attending the call. The purpose of the call is to actually, by the way, this is Akram. I'm sure you're not familiar with my voice yet. Since I came here, everybody has been talking my ear out about how we're not providing enough time for the SOs and ACs to participate in the budget process. So we tried to put together this process here, and hopefully we can walk you through the process itself, as well as what we call the basic services that we provide, and then get your feedback on both the basic services as well as the process. And the idea is that we will have another call later on in Cartagena after we accumulate all of the feedback, and we will tweak the process and try to respond to your requirements on the basic services that we provide. So this is the purpose of the call, to give you a first view of that, and then try to actually get back to you in Cartagena with a final process for this year, and hopefully we can execute on that, and everybody will feel, will get much more participation in how we do this, okay? And please do not hesitate to ask questions. This is actually an interactive session to make sure that we are all on the same page as we move forward. Kevin, you want to take it from here?
Sure. We're trying to figure out who's driving.
Oh.
Sorry, Juan had it up, so I thought Juan.
Yeah, he's a guest right now, so not a driver.
I got my hand up there, Kevin.
Okay, and maybe we can make that easier to see so we can see it. Ken, do you want to go ahead and ask a question while we're.
Yeah, real quick question on coordinating for Cartagena. If we're going to plan a meeting or something like that, we ought to try to get a doodle poll out on that very quickly because a lot of people are going to get tied up very, very quickly in the next 10 days.
The idea, Ken, was that we would actually participate in a portion of one of your meetings to present the final process, or that we would set another meeting. So it's up to you. We can be available either way.
Ken, did that answer your question?
I think so. I'll just sit back and wait and see what happens.
Okay. A little more specifically, I think we're going to request, or we already have requested, to get on the agenda on Constituency Day in particular. Obviously, we're able to meet with the GNSO or however Liz and David or others want us to interact with them to discuss this in more detail. And then I think we have a set time. I'm going to say it's Wednesday morning or something like that. It's 10:30 sticks in my head, but I'd have to go back and check the calendar on when we'd actually be doing a public presentation on that. So, okay. So just to echo, if you go to the slide two, to echo what Akram said, this is really just, I think everybody on the call is familiar with some of the background, so I'll go quickly through the background. But for those who might be listening to the recording, I'll make sure that I cover most of the talking points. So just bear with us if some of this is repetitious. The first thing is, this is really to honor our commitment to obtain earlier and more active participation of the SO and AC leadership in the budget and operating plan budget development process. So as Akram said, the two things, you guys, we can just go with this. That's fine, to honor their time. So the two points that Akram mentioned is that we want to clarify the process for the budget development, and in particular the SO and AC involvement, and make sure that's landing right. We have a proposal here. We want to make sure that's in fact what the expectations of the leadership of the SO and ACs are. And then second of all, develop a clear way in which requests, can be submitted. And in order to do that, you first need to know, presumably, what the basic services are that are provided for the SOAC. So we have some room to discuss that. And then these other bullet points are pretty kind of fall from that. Make sure that we're clear on what the timeline is and how that fits into the current operating plan and budget development process and the strategic plan as well. And then hopefully leave some time open to hear from you all on this call and subsequently as well. On both on the process as well as making sure that we're landing right on the agreed upon on the basic services. Make sure we get consensus on what those basic services are. Okay, next slide. So today we're going to talk about the current planning cycle, the revised process, and the steps in the FY12 development process. Next slide. So this slide four, describes the process that we've known to grow and love for the last 3 years as far as the development of the operating plan and budget development. So essentially it has the strategic plan or the annual update to the 3-year strategic plan taking the first 6 months of the fiscal year, meaning from July to December, and posted in typically in late December or January. And then the second 6 months of the year, the operating plan and budget being developed and then the last 3 years we had a framework built in, which was posted in the February-March meeting, and then the draft budget being posted on the 17th of May per the bylaws, and then the final budget being submitted to the board with further consultations at the June meeting. And three or four or five opportunities along the way for public feedback and public forum. So, next slide. We realized from feedback that although there's been continued community involvement in that, and I think last year we had something like 50 or 60 pages of comments from literally hundreds of participants in that process, from feedback we received that we needed to have more a few key changes. So the first was that the strategic plan would move from a six-month process to essentially a trimester or align with the ICANN meeting. So the first ICANN meeting, in this case in December, almost, what is that, 5.5 months since the last ICANN meeting, would be an opportunity that the strategic plan would be completed and it would be tied so that it would be finished for the, in this case, the Cartagena meeting. And the second aspect of that that's really important is that we didn't need to wait until the strategic plan was posted and approved and adopted by the community and the board, that we could start the budget process earlier, in particular get SO and AC leadership more involved in an earlier state and hopefully in a more active way as well. And that second bullet point, the SOAACs have always been able to comment, but really only as part of the public comment process after the framework was posted in the March meeting and then after the draft plan was posted at the 17th of May, and the comment being that it was really already baked. It needed to be less cooked for the SOAC leadership to shape it, set priorities, and submit requests. So the change process is that we want to have that opportunity for the supporting organizations and advisory councils to provide more active requests earlier into the process and have more of a shape and ownership in that in the operating plan and budget. The third bullet point there is that reflecting that is the point about active involvement is that the SOs and ACs didn't have enough opportunity to provide input into the ICANN support levels. And I know, Aubrey, you and I had lots of discussions about this in Brussels, and this is really from that and other discussions we had. We're encouraging more active participation, particularly in the setting of the support levels, well before the framework is developed so that we're landing the support levels appropriately. Okay, next slide. This one is a pretty carefully constructed chart which shows this process. And you'll see there, I'm just going to walk through it. Maybe you can use if you look over to the right there, Avi, you want to point to the arrow? If you point to that arrow right there, and then you click up above, you can follow through. So if you look at on my screen, it shows yellow, which is the strategic plan development. So that's the first step of the process, and that, as we mentioned, would complete by the first meeting of the fiscal year. In this year, would be the Cartagena meeting. And there would be those bursts in November 2010, for example. Each process would have a public comment open period. So that would be the strategic plan, more correctly stated as the annual update to the three-year strategic plan. The next step would be the development of the framework. But as you notice, we tried to capture this graphically. The tail of that arrow starts well before the strategic plan is complete. Now, certainly, it couldn't be finalized. You need to update the strategic plan. The framework needs to follow the strategic plan. But we wanted to build enough time into the framework so that there would be plenty of opportunity for SO and AC and other input to make sure that that framework is reflecting as much of the community requirements as possible. And then there would be the plan that would be posted for public comment in February, by the deadlines in accordance with past practices, and then it would be discussed and part of the agenda for the San Francisco or the second meeting of the fiscal year. And this fiscal year would be the San Francisco meeting.
And Kevin, did you know Chuck has raised his hand?
Okay.
I'm watching it over here.
Okay, good. Yeah, we can't see it on my screen. Chuck, did you want to insert a question now?
Yeah, if I can, Kevin.
Sure.
It's a pretty basic one. I've always assumed I knew what the framework was versus the budget, but as I'm trying to formulate it in my mind, I'm not sure I do. Explain for us what the difference is between a framework and a budget.
Sure. If you used, maybe an analogy of a living being, a framework would be the skeleton that set up the basic structure of the operating plan and budget, I hope I'm not being too graphic. Once you build the flesh and the skin and all the parts of the rest of the body, that would be the actual draft budget. And at least in ICANN's case, the differences between the draft budget and the final budget usually are minor tweaks. There's been a few exceptions to that over the years, so the framework is the basic structure. There's still opportunities for fairly large dial adjustments to it, but it should have all the features of the actual operating plan and budget. So someone reading it, and in terms of quantity from an ICANN deliverable. The framework is 20 or 30 pages describing in broad generalities, and it also describes what will be in the final budget. The final budget this last year was 80 some pages or something with five or six appendices.
Is it accurate to view the framework as a draft budget?
Early draft.
It may be an early draft budget. I think the plan has always been that there'd be opportunities to adjust the framework more than say a draft where you're just tweaking, fine-tuning details, that you could actually adjust major initiatives and that sort of thing. Historically, you're right. It almost looks like a draft budget because there haven't been dramatic changes in the allocation of resources, but there'd be an opportunity to. And I think one of the reasons why the SO and AC involvement, we've committed to providing more involvement at the SOAC leadership earlier in the process and more actively involved, is the criticism that the framework was already too baked and too far along to have significant impact. With a flat budget constraint, it was very difficult to have a if you wanted to propose a new initiative, the only way to do that is to remove something that had already been fully vetted, and so that made it very difficult. So this is it's a challenging task to adjust priorities and balance the budget in any case, but this is an attempt to get more and more involvement from the SOs and ACs earlier in the process, so it's less baked.
Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Chuck. And then just continue on the chart. Hopefully it's becoming clearer and clearer, and we're happy to take suggestions on the visual, but I think Akram and team have done a really good job of this. The last piece is the actual draft operating plan, well, actually the final budget and operating plan, which is signified by the red arrow on my screen, and has the May 17th, 2011. The bylaws require us to post the draft budget for community feedback, so that's the what's historically been there since for many years, per the bylaws, and this is really just an outgrowth of that. The original intention was to have a draft budget for community comment. The criticism was that there wasn't enough time to have impact on it, so we added the framework 3 years ago, and then now we're adding these extra steps to provide more opportunity for more information and more more tweaking. Okay, and then obviously the final submittal of that budget would be done with final discussions at the Asia Pacific, or the third meeting of the fiscal year, in this case somewhere in Asia Pacific, which we will hopefully find out about soon.
Then the cycle repeats.
And then the cycle repeats, right. And obviously the strategic plan should be starting before that Asia-Pacific meeting, so there's active discussions at the Asia-Pacific meeting. All right, next slide. So this is really just another recap to make sure that we're honoring our commitment to manage the priorities of the SOs and ACs. So just kind of walking through that. I see this is color coordinated with the prior charts, so that's great. So finalize the basic services processes, which we'll talk about in a second. And then SO and AC requests would be summarized, you know, obviously submitted. We would summarize those and we post those for public comment. I think this is the key additional process that we wouldn't be, that we'd have an open process so that you could, all members of the community could see what the submittals were, how they were prioritized, how they were cost estimated, how they were analyzed, and whether they were beneficial for the which strategic plan initiative, et cetera. And then the rest of this is, as we've done the last 3 years, where the framework is posted for the public comment, and then the draft is posted for public comment, and then the final operating plan and budget is submitted to the board at the June meeting.
And now Ken would like to ask a question.
Sure. Ken, you want to jump in? Ken?
He's probably on mute.
Yeah.
Okay. Star 6?
Can you hear me all right now, Kevin?
Yes. Hi,
okay,
Ken.
Fine. I'm not trying to inject politics into this at all, but trying to be very practical about it. Let's assume for the hell of it that the information about the size of the ICANN budget for the year, let's say 2012, is somewhat accurate. The stuff that we see out there in various blogs and public discussions. What I'm looking at is this. As ICANN moves forward, you're going to be in a situation where you're going to be managing, we'll call it managing, you're going to be dealing with two significant pools of funds. One set of funds will be derived from the normal operations that ICANN, that the SOs and the ACs are used to seeing year after year. The other pool of funds is going to be money that comes into ICANN as a result, let's take example, the auctions for the TLDs. The thing I'm concerned about is that we have not seen any clear direction from the board as to how they plan to deal with those funds. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because those funds could inadvertently be, or not inadvertently, but could be commingled in with the budgeting process here and put into normal operations. But I think that we need some direction from the board, some clarity early enough on so that we can deal as we move down the road as to how ICANN plans on handling those. And let me give you a perfect example. There were concerns expressed about compliance at the ICANN meeting in Brussels. And Rod stood up and said, don't worry about it, we have money available. And then when we try to get more clarity, and we never really got clarity as to where the money was available, what where it was coming from, and so forth. And I think as we move forward, looking at an operating framework for the future, we need to have a better idea as to how ICANN's board intends on directing that specific pool of funds that will be coming in. There are a lot of issues that have been brought up recently. Avery's been working very hard on a committee to provide financial assistance for underdeveloped nations and certain indigenous groups and people who could show legitimate financial need. You know, this would be much more helpful for us if we got a sense of direction from the board early enough on so we could see how they plan on integrating the needs that are going to be clearly evident in the future in the ICANN community with the budget. I hope I'm not carrying on too much.
So, Ken, this is Akram. I just want to
clarify one thing. Independent of what money we get from the new GTLDs, the existing GTLDs, any other sources of revenue that ICANN gets, the revenue has nothing to do with the budget. Once the budget is set, we could have a lot more revenue,
a lot less revenue.
We have to stay within budget. So there is no issue with commingling. That doesn't happen. Now, I agree with you that the board is looking into a policy of what to do with the revenue and how to deal with that. But at this stage, we have not had a decision from the board on that. And
I understand that, Akram, but again, my background, I am a CPA, I do understand that a budget, in effect, is a quantified plan of action. And you're not just budgeting for expenditures, you're budgeting for projected revenues and how you plan on dealing with us. And that's why I referred to it as two different pools. If the ICANN board wants to come out and say, listen, the budget that we're dealing with here has only is dealing with a plan of action that involves normal operations for ICANN. We also are preparing an entirely different plan for dealing with those areas that we've been talked, that I've been discussing here. I just think that we need to get that clarity early on so we don't run into a situation where people start expressing concerns about using funds to cover issues that may not necessarily have been included in the frameworks that were discussed. That's my approach.
So agreed, and I think that the plan is to communicate something about how we're going to be using these funds. And as of today, I know for this year, for example, the budget does not include the expenditures that that are needed for the new GTLD program. That is a separate expenditure that we're doing
outside of the current budget.
So
The plan would
be, I think, somehow to separate the current revenue from the new GTLD revenue, and we will
try to seek some clarity also
on how the
expenditures will be used,
what will happen with the revenue that is from the new GTLD
and how it will be spent. Does that
answer your question?
Yeah, I think it's a good start. I've got too many follow-on questions that I think deserve some consideration, but I don't think this is the right venue for them. So I'll
work. And I don't think we can actually answer for the board on these things until the board makes a decision.
Oh, I understand that. The thing I'm concerned about is I would like the comfort of knowing that the board is at least considering this. It's very difficult to provide some sort of an input to the board to ask those kind of questions. I hate, pardon the expression, I like hell to wait till Thursday morning to ask the board if they have a specific plan or a concept in mind for how they plan on dealing with this. I think the board should be prepared as an agenda item months in advance to develop some sort of a framework for dealing with those issues, because we all know the realities. We all know that there's a high probability that there will be a significant amount of resources that will be made available to ICANN outside of the normal operating process. Conversely, we all are aware of the fact that there are activities that are being contemplated, and I think in order to keep this as transparent as possible, this is not something that should be sprung on people like us at the 11th hour, and I think that's why I ask for this direction. I hate to see this suddenly get dumped into some sort of a framework at the 11th hour. Oh, by the way, here's what we're planning on doing without really... You know, things like this have happened in the past. It may be inadvertent. I'm not saying in any other way. But, you know, let's at least get the comfort of somebody looking us in the eye and saying, we're considering this. The board has put together a committee that's already working on dealing with these issues. You know, those are the kind of things that I think help give the community comfort in knowing that this is truly a deliberative process. Thanks.
No, definitely.
We are working on that, and one of the things that we're trying to do in the budget is to actually come up with a framework, or you know, I don't want to mix the framework with what I'm talking about, but come up with a budget that separates the what I would call the shared services versus the projects that we
are taking on. And so one of the projects would be the new GTLD program, and that would be separate in the
budget or outside the budget, but will always be looked at as an external element of the budget so that it has transparency and visibility to everybody what's happening with that. So,
excuse me, may I just announce myself and apologize for being late? It's Marilyn. I'm sorry my hotel was able to get me back to the internet. I appreciate the opportunity to join, and I'll just go back to this. I will come in on a comment later on this topic that Ken has raised, but I'd like to just get back in touch with where you are on the presentation first.
Thank you, Marilyn. Welcome. This is Kevin, and we're just finishing up slide 7. If you're on Adobe Connect, you're not on Adobe Connect. Okay. So we'll be sending the deck to you shortly, but if I could just add one point to this, that the last couple of budgets have had I think it's section 7 that has addressed the initial discussions of this, and obviously it's been a heavily discussed and directed exercise at the Board Finance Committee and also at the board. So to address your point, Ken, yeah, it won't be a surprise, and it is being progressed on all fronts. And every time it's looked at, it gets firmer and firmer as we get closer to the possibility of a new GTLD launch. Okay, so if I could, I'd like to go on to the next slide, which I think is slide 8. David, you're still on the line. Could you walk us through this slide? On the shared support services that we provide just for the, in particular for the GNSS?
Thank you, Kevin. David Olive here. This slide was created to show the basic services, most of which may be provided by the policy team, though not totally, but services that the GNSO community will be aware of and know of in terms of secretariat support. The services provided primarily by Glenn and her co-workers, as well as the subject matter experts. Liz Gaster leads that group, and others that you work with on the various work teams and work groups in support of the council and other constituencies and stakeholders, and subject matter experts that are used to augment the development process. In particular, I would come to mind the work that's being done. There's also technical support, that is the improvement of the website, the introduction of the wiki. We were using the old wiki that's being transitioned to a new version, Adobe Connect, and other technical services for facilitating the various meetings and work teams and work groups. Transcriptions, translations, interpretations, and some estimate of the volume and numbers of teleconferences, calls, and cross-constituency working groups that we also support with the Secretariat teleconferencing and experts as well. And this gives you some notion of that. Below, of course, are the ICANN meetings, funding that's part of the travel community travel budget, I'm sure, and Kevin can talk a little more about that. That's not part of the policy budget. But those are the supported services, some of which are presented in our budget and others from other parts of ICANN's budget.
Kevin, can I get in the queue when you get ready to take questions on this? It's Marilyn.
Sure, Marilyn. Hold on 1 second. We'll put you in right after this, just to finish the slide. I think some of you know that Juan Ojeda has joined us as ICANN's controller. So if Juan, could you just walk us through what the travel support guidelines provide as well?
Sure. Hi, everyone. This is Juan Ojeda. So I just wanted to go over, I'll just expand a little bit on what David described in the basic support services as well as the specific services. In regards to travel, the travel support guidelines provide, in the fiscal year 11 budget, provided support for 69 travelers to attend all three meetings. So the $350,000 budget amount that you see, that's the sum of all three meetings. And just for comparative purposes, we've also included actuals for fiscal year 10 for all three meetings. So as you can tell, we had some savings in fiscal year 10, and that's primarily due to reduced number of travelers. Just for your benefit, that's what we're including as part of your basic support services, travel specific.
And if I could just add on, because I was here, so just during those meetings, the reason why these were reduced, it wasn't a change in the guidelines or the offering. It was just primarily because at Nairobi, many people elected not to take the travel support that was offered to them. So that's why our numbers came in lower on unit as well as on the rate in FY10. But those are the basic support services that we've put together as what we think is offered for the GNSO.
An obvious question to this, just so, because she could come in off mute, but is this all SOAC supported travel all or just GNSO? She just wants a clarification of this specific slide.
No, that's just GNSO.
Right.
This is just GNSO, right?
I know that. I wanted to.
Yep. Thank you. Thanks. Good question, Aubrey. And can we take Marilyn's question now?
Marilyn and then Chuck.
Okay. Marilyn, go ahead.
So I have two questions. This is all GNSO Policy Council travel. This is not GNSO travel. This is travel allocated to policy counselors. Is that right?
Well, it's the 23 slots per ICANN meeting.
Okay.
Which each one had, you know, each stakeholder, each constituency has their own process.
True. Thank you. And I appreciate that clarification. As you know, that's something I'm very firm about. I just want to be clear. So this is 23 headcount per meeting, and each constituency makes a determination but this includes the three nominating committee appointees and the three board appointees. So in that number of 23 are those six individuals. And so I have a question about their travel. If they're not able to travel, they actually do not have a constituency to reallocate their funding. What is the process by which the reallocation of any unused travel from their inability to attend, which can happen for a variety of reasons, what is the process to reallocate that equitably across the constituencies to repurpose that? That would be question number one. So not to disadvantage them, but if they can't travel. That's question number one. I don't expect you to know what the answer is now, Kevin, but I want to park it and come back to it. Secondly, I am right now experiencing a problem with one of my counselors who can't get to Cartagena because of a visa problem. And I want to just be sure that we are not envisioning a situation where actuals are going to negatively impact the funding that we need put into travel going forward.
Okay.
Because we have no, as the community, we are increasingly aware, we have no influence about where ICANN holds the meeting, and circumstances such as concerns about security in Nairobi, however I may have felt the room this place, did affect some people's traveling, and the visa situation is probably affecting some people's traveling. So can we just deal with, we don't have to do it now, but I don't want the actuals to harm our ability to get the proper funding going forward.
Sure. So I think you said two questions. I heard three, Marilyn, so let me try to address all three. So the first one is, this does not, the slide you see here, slide 8, which has 23 travel slots, doesn't include the board members, doesn't include the NOMCOM, and obviously doesn't include the other SOs and ACs, which are described in the travel guidelines, which which are posted.
Sorry, Kevin, that wasn't my question. I just want to be clear what my question was. My question was the nominating committee's three appointees, not the nominating committee. The council has three nominating committee appointees to the council, and there are three board appointees to the council. Their names are?
Yes, yeah, so they're on top of this as well.
They are?
Yes.
So that is 29 travelers.
Well, it depends.
I don't.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to come back with a more formal answer because, with Aubrey's on the call, she was the classic case of double counting of a single person. So we want to be clear on that. So, Ava, did you want to?
These numbers are based
on. I don't think that's right, Kevin, because there aren't 29 counselors.
Yeah, I'm not sure where you got 29. So if I could, I don't want to take up the call too much, but we got the 23 from the travel guidelines posted, 23 per meeting. But there's also
one to give you.
Yeah, if you have.
We got 24 for Seoul, for the GNSO.
Let me address the other questions that we talked about, and then we'll come back to see clarity on the actual travel slots. So the travel guidelines, my deep understanding after spending several years working with the community and staff on drafting these, is that these are travel slots. If you hold a position, you get travel support or something like that. That's not the case for these. These are travel slots in order to further the good of ICANN, the work product of ICANN. And we've delegated essentially the process by which those slots are filled to the actual SOs and ACs in particular. And each SO and AC has their own specific process to do that. And that includes also the cross. So if one doesn't go, we often get requests for substitutes within their guidelines. So we can talk about and document what the specific guidelines are, but that's the general rule, and that's hopefully as clear as that in the actual posted travel guidelines. So we want to make sure I'm clear on that. And then as far as the savings, the intention is to provide travel slots. That was meant that, I guess that could change, but not to provide travel dollars. So essentially, ICANN has been taking the risk. If airfares go skyrocketing up, it doesn't mean that we have to cut down to 19 or 18 travel slots. It just means that we'll have to, that'll be a variance that we would do. Likewise, if the travel rates come down, it doesn't mean that we could expand to more travel slots. So the plan, the guidelines as written now are designed to be travel slots. And then with active requests to manage those costs so that we can provide those as efficiently as possible. Hopefully that answered your question pretty closely, Marilyn. And I'd like to take offline and answer more specifically your question about the NOMCOM appointees to the GNSO.
Actually, I'm going to withdraw that question because Aubrey just reminded me that the board appointees are in the NCSG, but the question still remains then only in relation to the nominating committee three appointees. But we can take that up later.
Okay, good. So, we'll...
so you've got Chuck and then Ken.
Okay, great. Chuck?
Yeah, and I'll be quick, Kevin, sorry. I'm looking at the teleconference calls for the GNSO, and I see four GNSO constituencies, and I see four stakeholders. So I'm trying to figure out, is it the four constituencies that are in the non-commercial stakeholder group that's mentioned under constituencies, and is it the four stakeholder groups, which includes the non-commercial house, the non-contractor party's house, excuse me, and then I see 48 calls each. So I'm trying to reconcile that in calls per year. And I guess the last question to relate it all this, is this a projection or something that's planned in the current budget?
David, you wanna answer that?
These were a quick put together estimate, Chuck, of the best guesstimate we could do at this particular point, as we were asked to come up with those services, and we had to coordinate with our communications people. It's not a projection of going forward, but kind of a snapshot of where we think we were at this particular time for the budget.
Okay, and am I correct in terms of what I assume was the definition of constituencies and stakeholder groups?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, all right, thanks.
Good, and then just to echo what Akram had mentioned earlier, the intention of this is not to say this is what you get, you know, that's
it.
The intention is to build a consensus, is this appropriate level of basic services?
Got it.
So really what we're trying to do here is to help you do your work. Just like the way I look at this is just like another department within ICANN, if they need some additional meetings or conference calls or something to get the job done, we figure out a way to get it done. And so that's the idea here. If there is work that needs to be done that you guys feel requires more support or more bandwidth from our current staff, then let's put it on the table and try to figure out how to get you that so you can get your job done.
Can you put me in the queue after Ken and Chuck? It's Marilyn.
Sure, Marilyn. Gotcha.
Sure. Okay, good. Ready for Ken, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can you hear me all right?
Yep, we can hear you.
I'm going to direct this somewhat to you, Akram, and I, at the same point in time, I think other people will have the same interest. I'm very troubled by the comment that Marilyn made about the fact that one of her representatives is having issues with visas and so forth. And I'd like to get some reassurance from the ICANN staff that we would be that they would be available to provide exactly the same support to the legitimate representatives of the various constituencies in the GNSO, that they would be willing to provide the same level of support to those people in obtaining visas as they would for their own board members. The reason is the board makes a decision on where to hold these meetings. And I think that it's incumbent on ICANN to make certain that they provide resources to ensure that people who are involved in policy development for the organizations that are duly appointed representatives. Now, I am not talking about people who are given travel slots out of a budget. I'm talking about the legitimate representatives from these constituencies. And maybe this is already being done. But if not, I'd like you to go back to your people and try to see if you couldn't put yourself in a position to give us those reassurances. I would hope that Marilyn and her people should be able to pick up the phone, make some calls, and get the kind of help that they need to ensure that their constituency is properly represented and that their people have every opportunity to attend those meetings. Thanks for hearing me out.
Yes, Ken, and you know, I agree with you 100%. I was approached by our administration team about this issue that Colombia does not have embassies across in all of the countries, and therefore some of the constituents are having problems getting visas, and we came up with a plan approving travel to locations where there are embassies.
and we are working. We've worked with the State Department in Colombia to guarantee us as much as they could that if somebody makes the trip to a location where there is an embassy, they and they have a letter from ICANN for the board for the meeting, they will be approved, and we've allocated hotel rooms for them to stay and wait for their visas. I think the problem, we're going to see some people that are not going to be able to take the trip to go get the visa and wait for the visa. It's about 3 to 4 days to wait for the visa to get done. So there are some logistics problems, but we are definitely trying to facilitate that for everyone because, like you said, we believe that the choice of the location is the thing that's hindering them from getting there, and we should do whatever we can to facilitate that. So.
And I think we can go one step further, and that is in the planning process, I think it's very important for people like Nick Tomaso or Barbara Clay to be able to have in their arsenal knowledge about this, so when they're negotiating for new sites, because let's be frank, Buenos Aires was also in the running with Cartagena. Now, if it had come down to being able to facilitate and assure that there would not be these kind of visa issues, my guess is that either the Colombia Department of Tourism or the government would have bent over backwards to make sure that this was not an issue. So I think it's extremely important for people like Nick and Barbara to be prepared to deal with those issues in the planning process when you're negotiating with proposers for sites in the future. And I'm sorry, I hope this hasn't been too much of a distraction from your call here, Kev.
No, we understand that and we agree. I think we should make every effort possible to address these issues up front as part of the selection process and not afterwards. So I agree with that. Thank you, Tim.
Okay. Was there one more question?
No.
Marilyn. Oh, that's right. Marilyn. I'm sorry, Marilyn.
Ken, thank you for speaking about this. Akram, I realize you and I have not met, so this may sound a bit blunt and direct, but I don't support the approach that ICANN took to this. And I will just say that the idea that ICANN, at the last minute, decided to fund people to sit in a hotel room for days or more than that, leaves me concerned since I don't have the funding I want for enforcement and compliance. But leaving that aside, I will just say, while we're all face-to-face, some of us who are very experienced travelers and who have experience in working with other fora, where this is worked out ahead of time, might be able to sit down with you and the travel team and share some experience. But my point is different. ICANN created a very negative political environment in how they handled the security challenges and publicized those related to Ghana, which caused huge problems for me in the business community. I'm just going to suggest that it's going to be really important to be sensitive to how ICANN handles the flashback of people not being able to get visas and making sure it's not a bad reflection on the Colombian government, who may not have been given early enough heads up. So that may not be viewed by all of you as being a budget issue, but there can be political implications of how we handle this issue.
Understood, Marilyn. I think that we have to look at this experience and figure out how we can do a better job next time. I think it is what it is now. I agree that reactionary measures are never as good as preemptive measures, but we are where we are today, and I think that we need to review our process of selecting locations with better planning on how everybody is going to be able to make it there, not just whether the host country is an acceptable country to go to. So.
Sure. So now I want to ask my question about this set of money, this set of services. What I don't see here, it may be here, but what I don't see here is the support that is needed to go to constituencies or stakeholder groups to assist them with things like charter drafting, research related to that, updates to their charters, et cetera, on an ongoing basis. And I just want to be sure that's flagged. It's not technical support. It comes out of the policy department. You may feel it's there, but I wanted to reference it.
Okay, acknowledged. That should be in there. And you're saying it's more than subject matter expert assistance. Understood, yeah. And David, did you have any comment on that, or can we go move on?
Yes, David here. Happy to do so. Yes, Marilyn, that would be both in terms of in secretariat support and subject matter support, where people like Rob or Glenn would be assisting people in that, in particular the charter reviews or the constituency reviews. That would be Rob and others who help him on that.
Okay, thank you. Just checking.
Yeah, that's definitely part of that services that would be part of that services.
Great. Okay, can we go on then? Just keep on track. So slide 14 is really just a recap of what Akram and myself and Juan will do during Cartagena. It's a high priority event for a series of activities for us to meet with each SO and AC, as Akram mentioned in the beginning, to gain consensus on the process and the current level of services that we're providing. And then in particular, constituency day, we want to make sure that each SO and AC is fully listened and we've noted orally those comments. In the public forum, not the public forum, but the open to the public session on Wednesday, that we'll hopefully announce the consensus-based process and clarify this. So that's our intention, is that Wednesday meeting will basically just kicking this off to the next step, and then clarify how the service requests for additional services, if there are any, that those would be provided. Okay, next slide.
I have a question, though. It's Marilyn again. This presentation seems to be, if I could just clarify that, and again, I'm sorry, I just couldn't get online from my hotel. This presentation seems to be, in this level of detail, only dealing with topics that are about SO or constituency support. The larger issue of things like the budget implications for enforcement, compliance, ICANN's day-to-day job.
Right.
Where are we, or how are we supposed to be commenting on that during constituency day and on Wednesday?
Do you have an answer to that?
Yeah.
I think the intention is, Marilyn, I don't know if you were here when we showed the beautiful chart with the arrows coming around, but the intention is the framework is underway now. We're not waiting for the strategic plan to be adopted before we start taking input from staff, community, and certainly from SO and AC leadership. It is true that the emphasis here is we wanted to clarify, because there was some confusion, we wanted to clarify what the basic services are for each SO and AC. But of course, we want to get your input in any form or fora that you provide on anything in the ICANN budget, because that will be in the draft, or excuse me, Jackie caught me, the framework, which will be posted in February.
So if the constituencies decided that the basic services that ICANN proposes to provide to them are not adequate and they want to propose an increase for ICANN to do something else across the SOs and the constituencies, you would expect us to put that in writing and submit it and define to you what it is, right?
Absolutely. That's a perfect segue to slide 15.
Okay.
So slide 15, basically, you know, we essentially would like a clear template that describes the activity, has a description of it, as quantifiable as possible. Obviously, it's a lot easier to do cost estimates when we know number of people or number of pages or, you know, number of hours it will take to prepare something. And then clarity on how it fits into the strategic plan. So that'll be you know, we're in addition to, I know we're demanding more from us to be clear on what these support services are. We also want to be demand from the community, and particularly the SO and AC leadership, that you provide as clear indication of what specifically services are that you need. Okay. And I think this last slide, which is slide 11, or one of the last slides, I guess, to clarify just the budget timeline, I think this group is clear, but just for those who might be listening, that we're having the briefing calls right now. In December, we'll have the more community discussions. To address Marilyn's point, is from December to January, we would expect submissions and posting of those requests as they come in. And then analyzed and estimated, and then kind of plugged back into the normal process where the framework would be posted in February. It would be maybe rough draft would be another synonym for that, and then more comment in the March meeting in San Francisco, and then per the bylaws posted in 17th of May. By the 17th of May, the draft plan and budget, and then submitted for adoption in the June meeting in Asia. Next slide.
I have a question. You know.
That's the last one. yes. Marilyn?
Before you leave that, I was just writing the question, but let me just ask it. So let's say, for instance, there's an initiative that
please hold the line.
Marilyn?
Hello?
Marilyn, are you there?
I am.
Okay, good. Go continue. Now we can hear you.
Sorry. So let's say that there's an initiative that's underway at the policy level. It's not complete. I'll pick who is, because that's something that's been an ongoing work item as the chair of the first Who Is Task Force years ago. I mean, dedicated to completing Who Is studies. Where's the funding for where's the funding for that? There was funding allocated for this year. Would I expect to have to submit an activity request to make sure that funding is reallocated for the Who Is studies? Just an example, or for compliance studies.
I think the short answer is no. You wouldn't be required to submit that. You would obviously, and this has been always the case, if the staff, for example, those two, well, one of those would be, I assume, David's group, and the other one would be now John's group under compliance. So for contractual compliance, anyway. So a staff member is responsible for every aspect of the budget. I want to make sure that's clear. And has always been the case, staff is typically consulted with the community and community leaders to make sure that they are landing correctly on identifying what is required of the community in order to get the work, the policy development work, and other work of ICANN. And so if you submitted a specific request through this process, which is designed to make sure we get the SO and AC support nailed down correctly, obviously we just make sure that the responsible party, responsible staff member would include that, so that they would factor that into their discussions.
Okay, so I have another example. The economic studies that were committed are not done. I know that because I did talk to the economist. Is that funded? That's not, that funding is somewhere else. I think Kurt's on, that funding is somewhere else. So, you know, I want to be sure that the community is not blindsided by somebody coming back and saying, well, you didn't ask us to carry it over. And I guess I'm also very sensitive, Kevin, that sometimes we get told too late that we need to champion a topic.
Got it. Yeah. So,
Marilyn, Kevin, maybe Liz sure. would have a comment here, because on the Who Is, that's an important point about carryover, if you will, or going forward over the next year. Liz, would you want to have a comment here, please?
Yeah, I actually think Marilyn's question is a very good one, because initially, Chuck asked me to look into this. It was pretty clear that we were not going to be able to use all of the $400,000 that's allocated for 2011 during the year, just because of the time frame of the council's decision making, and now I'm, you know, negotiating a contract with one vendor. So I think you said, Kevin, that there wasn't really a process in place for multi-year budgeting, and that the community would need to submit an additional request. So I think that's an important clarification to understand the process and what staff member would be responsible for, or whether it's the community. Kevin, I'd appreciate clarification there too.
Yeah. First of all, I probably meant, if I had said that there's not a process for multi-year, certainly there's multi-year commitments. We have leases and many contracts that are go over years. I think maybe I was saying that the bylaws provide for an annual budget that gets approved for each year. And so therefore, things like this that are necessary for the ICANN, you know, it's not a use it or lose it model. We need to get the work of ICANN done. So presumably the staff person, Liz in this case, would make sure that stays on the list. So the point is, we're not trying to build a system that, you know, you have to game to try to figure out what that is. We're basically opening up, we're expanding it, having more active involvement, and requesting more clear inputs from the SO and AC leadership. Just continuing the efforts of the past to get those.
Kevin, to make things simple, if we start working on initiative, and that work has started, there is a timeline and a schedule for that work to be finished. If it goes over the fiscal boundary of the year, that doesn't mean that now we have to shut it down and start it all over. It just carries over, and if it's a staff work, then it's part of the list of the work that the staff is doing, and part of their schedule for the next fiscal year. If it is a contracted work, then there is a contract that spans across the period that we have to honor regardless of whether we want to cancel or not. We have to honor the contract. So I think if it's work that's been already determined to be done, you don't have to actually go and reapply for it, if that's the question. That is done. It's actually approved, and it's in the budget, and if it carries across the year, it should carry across the year in the budget. You won't have to apply for it again. In the request that we're asking, the idea is that you would ask for a special request, and whether it's a study or additional budget to do more compliance or additional, you know, whatever the purpose of the additional work is. The idea is that you would say what it is, describe how you think it's going to happen, and then describe how it's going to benefit the strategic plan for ICANN. Once you have these descriptions in, then we will look at the resource estimates that are needed to implement the request. We will put some cost estimates, and then we were going to list them all for public review. And for public comment. So the comments will actually prioritize these things based on the stakeholders' view of all of these requests. Now, we all have to live within our means. So basically, we cannot go and spend more money than we're allocated. So we have to draw the line somewhere, and it's not our place as finance team to say, oh, this gets precedence over that. So what we wanted to use was public comments to rank these things pretty much by order of interest from the community, and then draw the line at the total that we can afford to spend. And that would go into the framework for additional discussion. And as new requests come in and the community expresses their interest or disinterest in the request, those requests will be added, and some things will move down or up depending on how the community feedback works out. So it's not a perfect system. We don't have a grading rule that we can grade every request, but I think it's within the spirit of ICANN and its stakeholders' interests to do it through the process of public comments.
Okay. We had one more question.
I'm sorry, Ekin. I have to ask a question about that. It's Marilyn.
Sure.
I think we have to be a little careful about using the term public comment as a rationale for killing an initiative that is a byproduct of ICANN's obligations and responsibilities, right?
Well, that's why we're saying there has to be an explanation of how the activity will help ICANN's strategic goals, right?
Well, I don't think that Metallitz is on the phone. I'm not sure if he is or not. But there's been a longstanding concern by some of the constituencies about an adequate budget and adequate staffing for enforcement and compliance. And, you know, there may be a split in the community about the prioritization of that. So I don't want to dwell on this, but I do just want to be careful that we're not finding ourselves in a situation where we're taking a vote and saying, well, 500 people sent an email saying I don't like something, and 20 organizations posted that they think this is an essential part of ICANN's job.
Understood.
Okay.
Ken, you had a question?
Yeah.
Yeah, can you hear me, Kevin? I'm sorry.
Yeah, fire away.
Yeah. I advocate on the chat list there, and I think it's a good idea because it helps for credibility and also enhance communications. ICANN should consider the possibility of developing some sort of an open items list. When you get these carryover items and stuff like we've been talking about, you will significantly reduce the communication problems that are inherent in these kind of issues if you acknowledge publicly the following open items are being carried over for one reason or another. And just a brief explanation, I mean, perfect example is the WHOIS studies. Why go to all this trouble of creating mistrust or concern when it's so easy to solve it by just enhancing a little bit of communications in areas like this? Because there, and I mean, Marilyn can back this up, and most of the people who've been around for a while would back this up. There's an inherent suspicion that is just somewhat deep-seated that's been there. And we're all working as hard as we can to open this area up to make sure that we're not, it's not a matter even of transparency. It's a matter of enhancing communications. And this way you don't get those concerns and questions about zero-based budgeting and all, do we have to go through all this all over again? We fought so hard to get these studies in. Why worry about it? I mean, you reduce the anxiety level significantly by acknowledging items like this, explaining it up front as part of the budgeting process, the following items which are being carried over. Now, I'm not talking about a detailed list of leases and continued long-term liabilities. I'm talking about specific policy areas, areas where you know you're going to have questions like the ones you've had today. Just kick it around and see if it makes any sense to you guys.
Absolutely, yeah. You picked up the tenor that we've been trying to do, and I think, and you know, to toot our horn, I think, and this is the community's response too, tooting the community's feedback too, because the quality of the feedback on the framework and the budget, draft budget last year was light years ahead of the quality of the feedback the year before and the year before that. And so I think it's an evolutionary process where we just communicate more and more clearly on what's in, what's out, what's carried over, and what needs to be modified. I think that's really, really wise words that we want you to hold us accountable to. Great. Are there any other, thank you very much for that. Are there any other questions or comments? I know we went over our intended time, and we really appreciate all of you staying on. And David and Liz and others on the phone from staff, thank you for joining the call and all those in the room. I just wanted to say thank you very much. We're looking forward to seeing you in Cartagena. Happy to engage in more dialogue to get this as clean and as clearly communicated and obtain as strong buy-in into the process and the basic services and as we get ready for building the FY12 budget development, building the FY12 operating plan and budget. Really, thank you all for your contributions, past, present, and future.
Kevin, a quick question. This is Chuck. The sessions in Cartagena, would they be similar to this in terms of giving to a broader audience the process that's planned?
Well, certainly the Wednesday session would be. And we haven't actually finalized the slide deck for that, but that would be the intention. But we'd love to get your feedback on that. I know we have. I think we have time scheduled, for example, for the registry constituency, which comes off. Craig mentioned that we thought we'd have a little bit of slot time on constituency day. So it would be helpful to get feedback on that. Do you want us to go another level deeper? Actually, have the template forms prepared, or just keep it at this broad level to bring a wider group up to speed with where we are now?
Well, I think it's helpful to bring the broader group up to speed where you're at, but I also like the idea, time permitting, to go another level. Again, that's going to depend on how much time we have. Now, one last question. Is it okay for us to forward this presentation, or do you think it stands alone enough to make that useful?
Chuck, this is Janice. The idea of forwarding it, that's exactly what we'd like you to do. So again, once we wrap this up, I'm going to end the recording. I'm going to put it on a separate web page to get to everyone as a MP3. I'm going to have the PowerPoint sent to you, and you can distribute it, because I think the best thing to do is to talk to the different constituents, the members of the constituency groups, and to get their input and feedback through discussion. The CCNSO had a session with us yesterday and then turned it back around to their council meeting this morning so that they could, widen the knowledge base in their constituency group about this process. So I think the more the merrier, and the more feedback that you can give. Also, David Allen has asked me to cut and paste the information from the chat. That's been going on just to make sure that staff can capture any of the additional questions or concerns, and we can be ready to address those either before or in the individual constituency sessions in Cartagena. And I'd also like to add, if there's a specific time that works for you or your group that would be more amenable for you to have more people, please get back to Kevin on that, and he'll make sure that he works out a schedule for himself and Juan and Akram, that they can discuss these matters with you in more depth.
Thank you, Janice. That's very helpful. With regard to the GNSO as a whole, it probably doesn't work to have a total GNSO session, but with regard to the specific constituency and stakeholder group meetings, I think that could be very useful. Of course, that's a decision for each group.
Great.
And Chuck, I have ulterior motives, because I want to engage you this time with a fellowship group. So I figure, I'll just butter you up, give you everything you need on the front end, and then you'll join me there in Cartagena.
Okay.
Thank you all.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.